Cameron Esposito, the host of Wham Bam Pow. I am not feeling good today. I don't feel good. I don't feel well. I'm sick. I hope I can cough during the show so you can hear what I'm really working with. My lungs are full of things. And it's bad. Guys, it's fucking bad over here. I'm sick.
What we call tonight's episode Wham Bam Phlegm.
Wham, bam, bam, pow. Something just came out of my nose. That's what it should be called.
Flim, flam, flum.
Flim, flam.
I don't feel good, but nonetheless, this is a movie show. A podcast that's focused on action and sci-fi films. And we're here to talk about movies, movie news, give some reviews, and stuff you can use. And I'm joined here, as always, by the Lady James Dean, Ms. Rhea Butcher. How you doing, Rhea?
Good. I forgot about that. Stuff you can use.
Yeah.
Well, and it made me really happy to hear it again.
I have a little lilt in my voice when I do that. Is that the right word? Who cares?
Yeah, sure. Lily Tomlin. You got a little Lily Tomlin in your voice.
Yes. I'm in the wrong body. Am I Steve Martin?
Yeah, Who am I?
Or Lily Tomlin. Starts shrinking.
Or are you Bette Midler? Are you the twin of Bette Midler?
Ooh.
And you're...
Wow.
Big business.
Shrinking one. Now, that was a good one.
Yeah, sure.
Hey.
We're working 9 to 5 over here, folks.
That movie is really, in the movie 9 to 5, there is a kidnapping. Just an
outright
kidnapping.
Spoiler alert. She's going to say something that you don't want to hear. I know it.
It's no, that's
30-year-old
There's
old
a kidnapping.
Movie. Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's just, it's a lighthearted film with like a song from it that's very like,
just gotta work. But really, the lyrics should be: women are not equal to men. Women are not.
Actually, should be like:
women are not equal to Dabney Coleman. I think that's what that movie.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that whole movie is kind of a case for Olivia and Stabler, because as you know, one of them goes by their first name, and the other one goes by their last name.
She goes by Benson. What are you talking about?
Do you think so? I feel like she's
equally
much more Olivia. Ugh, please.
She calls him L all the time. Anyway.
Yeah, all right. Well, we're talking about Law & Order SVU, and who else should we talk about it with but the Afro spokesman, Mr. Ricky Carmona. Ricky, how are you doing?
What is popping, people, in 2014?
We have had a great week here on the show because listener Megan Cott drew us all as watercolor cats
little
with
tiny
our hair.
Cats.
Amazing. I thought it was perfect.
Oh my God. Just turned into
Ricky,
a cat.
What?
It's he me. Just turned into his cat watercolor.
And so you can find that on the internet,
Tumblr, Facebook.
Yep.
We put
Twitter.
It all over the
we
internet.
We put it everywhere. It's on blast.
It's on my
on
Instagram
blast.
For sure.
It'll be on mine soon.
It's
I like
on mine.
To wait it out a little
put
bit.
Put it on my Tumblr
we also
page.
Got a great listener message from Claire in Bratislava, Slovakia.
Ooh, well pronounced.
Who said he.
She.
It's a she.
It's a she.
She sent us a super long email that was like adorable, detailed, wonderful. She also told us that she listens with her 9-month-old baby to the show. And that's good because babies should learn the word fuck.
That's right.
What it do?
What it do, baby?
What it do? And the answer is nothing. It's a baby.
Yeah, that's right. It shits. It
but
shits
if you
want
to get in touch with us, you can reach us at whambampow@maximumfun.org. We love to listen to you. And by listen, I mean read the things you send us. And just a final thing before we start the rest of the show, I want to let everybody know that I am going to be recording a stand-up album this Thursday, January 9th, through this Sunday, January 12th. I will be in Atlanta at the Laughing Skull Lounge. Now, anything you can do to get your friends out or let people know about the show would help me so much. So my Twitter handle is @CameronEsposito. Tweet it out. Maybe you don't live in Atlanta, but maybe you're like, hey, I have 38 followers.
Hey,
you don't know.
Do you know Ted Turner personally? Let him know.
Yeah, or maybe you have 38,000 followers. Let them know. Or send your mom. Buy your mom a plane ticket. Send her to Atlanta. I would love to see some listeners at the show, so please, anything you can do to help out would be so much appreciated, and I will see you there. We will be back to start the rest of the show right after this. And welcome back. We're going to do some movie news right now. Oh, you know what else, Ricky? Guess what?
Talk
I'm going to tell you the real truth.
Here
not
we go.
Not only do I have terrible flu, but I also have my period. So what the fuck are you bringing to the table? I feel terrible.
It is a fight to the death.
Oh, are you sick? I'm sorry. I'm also bleeding. Right now.
I guess I wish I could get a period and share it with you. is that
you
something?
Know what?
Is that something
actually,
women
Ricky,
do? Do you share your periods?
I wish you could get a period too. I never thought about that till you said it, and then I was like, that would be chill. You'd deal with it right because here's the things you already like to do. You like to watch movies on your couch with your dog.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's basically having a period.
That's the whole thing.
Now, the whole blood thing coming from out of me.
Oh,
though.
It hurts.
Oh,
yeah. It's not good.
It's not fun.
Oh,
it's not
I don't like
fun.
That.
And what a mess. But you would get used to it because it'd be all you ever knew.
I also wouldn't want to go to the store and buy something that lets them know right away, you have blood coming out.
Well, you know
out.
What you got to do? Full eye contact. I just got to the point where that's what I do. I'm like, oh, actually, you know what? If you just hang on a second, I got to unwrap one of these for right now. Hey, do you want to let everybody
real
know?
Real quick, if you don't mind.
You should let everybody know what that email address is.
Can I come behind the counter? Because I just...
That's disgusting.
No, it's not. It's really funny.
Do you guys sell these in like a strawberry flavor as well? Or like a...
the email address is wambampow@maximumfun.org. Tell us your period stories. Did you get one? When did you get one?
That's right.
What are you doing
Do
now
you want
with it?
One?
Who would you, what action director would you want to direct your period?
What soundtrack?
Soundtrack by the RZA. So, yes. Good. This is a natural transition into the next part of the show.
I just want to say, you're not going to hear any other podcast where people just be dropping knowledge on periods like we just did. Knowledge, science.
That's what makes our podcast special. Speaking of shadow recruits, doesn't that seem like a good way to describe a period?
That was good.
Oh, I have my shadow recruit. That's a good way to say that.
That's okay. An update to Aunt Flo. It's nice.
Jack Ryan, shadow recruit. By the way, I hope that infects everybody, all the listeners' minds, so that when they see those billboards, that's all they can think of is just Kevin Costner's that time of the month. But here's who's in this movie.
I think that was a tagline to the movie.
Yes.
Kevin Costner's time of the month.
It's Kevin Costner's time of the month. He isn't pregnant this month again. Kevin Costner. This movie stars Chris Pine and Kevin Costner and Keira Knightley and Kenneth Branagh. Now, I'm bringing this up because it comes out, I think, on the 17th, which is pretty soon. I don't know if either of you have seen the trailer, but it's, number one, it's a return for Kevin Costner. Where has he been?
Kevin Costner's back.
I can tell you exactly where he's been. He was in the Hatfields versus the McCoys, which I believe I listed recently as one of my leave you withs because I watched the entire miniseries in a day.
He's in that?
Yeah, he's in it. He's great.
Is he good? I haven't seen any of it.
Oh my God, now I can't remember if he's a Hatfield or a McCoy, but it doesn't matter.
Does
he's actually quite good.
Does he have an accent? Because that is not
his
strong
suit. He doesn't have an accent.
Okay, that's good.
He lives in Appalachian, West Virginia. Zero accent whatsoever.
See, they always let him do that in every movie. It's like, everybody else is British. This guy, he was just raised by other people.
Yeah. He's from around the corner.
Yeah.
Let us not remember his amazing performance in Man of Steel as well.
Oh, yeah. I Fantastic. Forgot he was in Man of Steel.
Yeah.
He's been inching his
I
way
I forgot
back.
He was in
he
Man of
actually,
Steel because he's the dad in that movie. And that's just, it's weird to think about Kevin Costner getting to that.
Yeah, totally.
Point in his life.
I was thinking that as I was watching the movie, like, oh, Kevin Costner,
that's where we are with you.
Yeah, that's where we are with you. Exactly.
And the other reason I want to bring it up is because, from the trailer anyway, to me it looked a lot like what would usually be like a Tom Cruise movie. Like, it's almost cut like a Tom Cruise trailer.
Totally. Absolutely.
Like, there's a lot of, like, jaws and, like, jaw angle shots and, like, what?
Yeah.
But it's Chris Pine. And it's interesting because he hasn't really carried a movie besides the Star Trek franchise. It's interesting to—I'm very curious as to whether he can carry this film. Do you guys think he's leading man potential outside of as James T. Kirk?
When I saw that trailer, I was immediately like, next. Not this one, Chris. Thank you, though.
I felt the same way.
Yeah. I like him, and I think he can be a leading man, but I immediately was like, nope, not this movie.
I also think that— he has some rather large Harrison Ford-shaped shoes to fill in this role because it's,
it's
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, it's also weird as well restarting this franchise again.
Yep.
The last one was a restarting of the franchise, I believe. And now this one, again, we're restarting it. So it also, that's working against him. He can't control that, but my mind was also like, and I also really don't I'm not interested in Jack Ryan anymore.
Maybe it was also just this specific movie, like you're saying, Ricky, but just from the trailer, he didn't seem... Whatever is the cheesiness that you need to be able to pull off a Kirk is hard for me to translate into, like, an action hero that's for real, for real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Who's also... Jack Ryan is, like, it's sort of a procedural type action movie rather than just, like, pew, 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 like phasers or whatever, and then
right.
joking around with people.
Yeah.
It's like almost like a lawyer type of a thing.
Totally.
He's like wearing a suit all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, now I'm thinking about The Hunt for Red October,
yeah.
Jack Ryan. There's mm-hmm. hardly any action in that movie, and the action that is in there is two submarines. So it's
right.
these slow-ass boats going against each other. And this one, they're totally going for... Tom Cruise,
it really
Jason
looks like
Bourne.
A, it looks
yeah.
like a Bourne
yeah.
or like a Mission
yeah.
Impossible.
Let's fuse all of those things together. Throw in some Kenneth Branagh with some, he looks like he's got some Just for Hair dye coloring.
He looks like he left another movie and they were like, hey, why don't you just leave on what you're wearing?
Yeah.
Actually, just do the
right.
accent you're already doing.
Yeah.
That'll work. Keep it. Roll him.
I think it's weird that he's the villain and that he's directing it as well. That kind of takes me out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, that Kenneth.
That's weird.
Well, you know what? Can I tell you the final thing that takes me out of it? That they didn't change Chris Pine's hair at all from his Kirk hair?
Yeah.
You can't just take your Kirk hair and put it on another dude. Trim it up or something. I don't know, some shit different.
Would you have preferred if it was Zachary Quinto?
With ears. I want the actual Spock ears.
With Keira Knightley dresses the whole movie. But just Zachary Quinto.
What's the story with that hair? You can change it up a little bit? Okay. Other topics to talk about. Lawrence Kasdan. Now, he is the dude who wrote Raiders, Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back. He's co-writing the third trilogy that's in the works right now. Which, by the way, third trilogy is like, that's just an amazing
ridiculous.
Thing to
say. Right? Right.
But one thing is that he's co-writing the J.J. Abrams episode 7 that's going to focus on like a Luke, Leia, Han. What happened? Where are they now?
hey, what
where
you
are
got,
they now?
What you guys been up to?
And like their offspring and stuff. But then there's also going to be a Boba Fett.
Of course.
Focused film is the new word out this week that they're making a Boba Fett.
Boba Fett focus. Origins?
Yeah, basically.
Boba Fett's Wolverine's origins
yeah.
of Boba Fett.
Yes. Boba Fett first class is what I'm talking about.
Boba Fett shadow recruit. Boba Fett Jack Ryan.
Boba Fett's bubble tea. I don't know.
Boba Fett's bubble tea is, we should make that.
Yeah.
I really want to see Boba Fett beach. Oh, I will let myself out. Boba Fett.
I really enjoy falafel with Boba Fett.
Okay, now stop it. We have to be serious.
All right.
No, we don't.
Here's the overall question. Star Wars movies.
Don't care.
Not just, well, okay, sorry.
Right away.
No, that's fine.
Boom, out.
I mean, not just do you care, but like, is this salvageable at this point? When you make three movies and they have a hallowed place in history, and then you make three more movies and they're pretty universally panned, whether or not you believe that like Star Wars are great films or not, like whether or not that's something that works for you, Rio, if you're really into the, you know, the original yet middle trilogy, you know, they still have this great place. And then all of that, it was like all of the air let out of the tires of that tireless speeder.
Mm.
I don't know if they can come back. I have no faith in relaunching this franchise, in completing another trilogy and having them have any value. What do you guys think?
I think deep down, Star Wars fans my age, there's a part of them that's gonna start. They're gonna start getting excited again. They're gonna want. They want these to be good. I think, me personally, I'm not done with them, but I'm not like, oh man, get them right. Get them right,
so
JJ.
If you want them to be good like that.
Yeah.
I guess my question is like, can you ever recapture that?
No, the last three were so bad that I'm good. Like, hey man, you tried, failed, it's all good.
I would also
Let's
add.
Leave them alone.
That not only were the first three so bad, but what they have done to the originals that people either absolutely loved or just a little bit loved have also ruined their possibility of making anything new even come close, because you can't actually see that original thing that you loved.
Yeah, and we don't even like talk about Star Wars anymore. We don't talk about Star Wars. We talk about everything that's wrong with Star Wars. We talk about how George Lucas fucked up Star Wars.
I mean, that's like, my question. And it sounds like, I like what you said, Rhea, which is like, after you've seen episode 1 through 3, you can't go back and just be like, well, what if those didn't exist?
Yeah, totally.
It's almost like watching Home Alone 1 and then Home Alone 2 and being like, oh, actually, Home Alone 2 is a piece of shit, but it doesn't ruin the first one. The first one's still okay. It's my Home Alone theory.
Good. It's the theory of Home Alone. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Final thing I want to talk about in movie news is this movie Transcendence with Johnny Depp. Have either of you heard about this movie?
I've heard about it. I haven't seen the trailer.
I
made Rhea watch the trailer today, so I don't know why I said, have either of you heard of this? Well, whatever. That was a little bit silly.
It's kind of fun to keep the...
But here's the reason I bring it up. So this trailer is about... This is not really spoiling anything. I mean, I guess you should tune out if you don't even want to know what's revealed in the trailer. Johnny Depp is a scientist who creates massive artificial intelligence computer hub. He's not going to make it. And he puts his brain into the artificial intelligence. And the reason I thought this was so interesting, you can even see this in the trailer, is that that's what happens. So then now, like... humans are kind of fighting this, like, intelligence that's everywhere. They're fighting, like, the machine.
Hmm.
I just thought that was very interesting because it's not unlike Terminator, but it's just the updated format of that. Like, when Terminator came out, when we imagined how we would have to fight robots or artificial intelligence, they had physical bodies. And now, since we're so beyond that, since we're, like, unplugged, like, then it was, like, everything... Wouldn't it be crazy if everything was hooked together? Like, that's what they were like, all the stoplights will be joined together. Like, that's how people saw the future. They saw computers as uniting everything, and they didn't realize that actually what would end up happening is, like, it didn't kind of unite things underground. Now the way we use computers, everything's kind of, like, hovering in the air all around us, and everything's unplugged. So this movie, Transcendence, really echoes this kind of modern look at the same story. And I bring this all up because also for today's show, we're talking about Her, which has artificial intelligence featured in it, and this kind of unplugged, same sort of situation that we see in Transcendence. And for next week for the show, just an early heads up, what we're all going to watch is we're going to watch the movie Cherry 2000, which is like an old 80s movie that's about a woman or a guy who falls in love with like a female sex robot. And so it's, again... really interesting look at the way that, like, in the 80s, you know, when the original Terminator would come out or when this Cherry 2000 movie came out, that we imagined that, like, robots and technology would have physical forms and that we'd be, like, fighting it or loving it physically. And then now in the 2000s, in the 2010s even, when we imagine, like, these forces that are either be against us or that we'll be in love with, they're conceptual and they're, like, floating in the air all around us. Mm-hmm. I just think it's really fascinating to explore those things in contrast to each other. So watch this trailer to Transcendence to get an idea of what I'm talking about, and then also watch Cherry 2000 for next week. Thoughts? General ideas?
That's a very good point about... without getting too much into Her right now, but just, yeah, that concept of, like, this thing that he's falling in love with, this voice, it's just a voice. And yeah, I mean, definitely, when I was a kid, it was all about what the robot looked like. What does whatever it is we're eventually going to be fighting against, if that's the movie that's being told, or like the Lawnmower Man. Remember that movie, Lawnmower Man, where it was always like, oh man, once we get into the world and we see what he looks like and the things that, you know, the shapes that he can make his body, it's very interesting to me. That we have moved now from the robots to, no, it's just everything. You know, it's all around you.
I would bring up RoboCop, and specifically in regards to Transcendence, RoboCop 2.
Well, even the movie The Matrix, as seen as kind of an in-between spot in this, where it was like, wait a minute, maybe robots will make us the things that are plugged in, you know? But but again, it's still at that point, like, because even the Matrix exists as like a sort of a virtual reality that we can travel into, but there also is a physical body that everybody still inhabits, and then also the robots have physical bodies. So it's been a very interesting path in terms of how we conceive of the way that we're going to continue to interact with technology. So, yes, I am very smart.
In conclusion.
But you didn't say the word singularity, so I'm docking you a few points.
We'll be back with more after this.
I'm Carrie Poppy.
I'm Ross Blotcher.
And we make a show.
Oh no, Ross and Carrie.
Oh no.
We investigate fringe science.
Spirituality.
Religious groups.
Alternative therapies.
We put ourselves through a lot of uncomfortable situations.
So that you don't have to.
Because really, why would you?
For example, I watched a tube be inserted into Ross's anus.
That's true, but it sounds terrible out of context. We've tried penis and breast enlargement pills.
We spent 6 months undercover becoming Mormons.
We hung out with the 9/11 truthers.
The UFO cult, the Raelians.
And we're going to do more.
It's one of the newest shows on MaximumFun.org.
So now is the part of the show where we'd usually have like a wacky, silly game. Maybe someone call in or we'd play Pitch It. But we are sick.
Really sick.
And we've had to do this in like 27 takes so far because I can't stop coughing all of my lungs out of my face. So what's up to Lindsay, our producer, who's editing the shit out of this.
Cough editor.
Yeah, Lindsay Pavlis. So today on the show, we're just going to do a review. It's going to be a little bit of an abbreviated show, but I know you understand.
We promise that Pidget is probably
we're
coming back next
doing
week.
Doing the best yes. we can. We're just people.
Next week when we come back, I mean, we're going to come back with extra lives in us.
Yeah. We're
gonna,
exporting ourselves into the machine,
yes.
and then we're going to become Terminators, and then no one can stop us then.
That's exactly right. So for this week's show, we reviewed... or we're going to talk about the movie Her, which is currently available in theaters. And this movie is written and directed by Spike Jonze. Now, Spike Jonze...
But are we going to talk about the movie in full right now?
In a second. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So after...
Sorry.
Yes. Yes. All right. Spoilers do follow. Mm. Some of them are just going to be spoilers about Spike Jonze's life. If you don't want to know this, tune out. But I'll let you know when we get to the movie part as well. Thank you so much for
sorry.
Your, always on spoiler patrol. No.
I'm so terrified of spoilers. Terrified of spoiling people.
It's okay.
Unless the movie is 15 plus years old, then who cares?
Yeah.
15, that's the line for you?
I think so, yes. And then if the last episode of a television show aired 5 or more years ago, I can talk about it.
Have you ever
it.
Seen okay. When Harry Met Sally?
Not all the way through.
Because it ruins Casablanca. How do you feel about that?
How about when a movie ruins
the movie when Harry Met Sally ruins Casablanca?
Well, hey.
Just saying.
It's a movie, so it can do whatever it wants. But
yeah. It also tries to posit that, what's his name?
Billy Crystal
is attractive.
And
that's tough. That's a tough one. And I'm not saying he's not funny or attractive to some people, but with a young Meg Ryan.
Come on now.
And doesn't Sleepless in Seattle ruin another classic movie, too, about, like, the... Anyway, doesn't matter.
I think okay. it ruins Dolomite.
I think it ruins the concept of the Space Needle.
Sure.
So Spike Jonze is... He is the director of Where the Wild Things Are, an adaptation, and Being John Malkovich. I also didn't know this. I don't know where I've been, but I didn't realize that he was the guy that had done the Beastie Boys Sabotage video.
Oh,
just
yeah.
didn't know that. And I also didn't know that he was behind a lot of the concepts in Jackass. Just didn't know that. And I also didn't know he used to be married to Sofia Coppola.
Come on, Cameron.
Didn't know. Well, listen.
Did you know he directed Her?
Now, well, can I just say this? In my defense, this movie was a horse nonsense. So... Now I know why I didn't know anything
well,
about his
here's
life,
the thing.
Because I hate his shit.
I'm
oh,
a
I don't care about Jackass at all.
Professional skateboarder, so I was already aware of Mr. Spike Jonze back in 1995.
I'm sorry, I didn't know you were a professional
or 94,
skateboarder.
When he was directing Spike videos Jonze. For girl skateboards.
Well, I wasn't. You know why? What year was that?
1995.
You know why? Because I was a dork in 1995. Okay, Rhea?
Well, I was super cool.
I wasn't
cool.
on a skateboard. You know what I was doing? I was rollerblading.
Well, that's really lame.
So shut it.
Backwards? Could you rollerblade backwards?
No, frontwards. Just forward.
Forward ho.
I could go in a circle and do the crossover.
I don't know what that is.
It's where you put one leg in front of the other. Please. Haven't you never seen no speed skating?
Bonnie Blair?
The cutting edge?
I do want to bring up the Sofia Coppola marriage, not because it's like part of his personal life, actually because having seen Her and then like looking back at I mean, I have seen Adaptation. I have seen Malkovich and Where the Wild Things Are. It's very interesting to me that they were married because they actually have a really similar or like corresponding film aesthetic.
Yeah,
like, I feel like their those movies go
take place
in the same world,
in the
right?
Same world, yeah.
Like, I mean, it could be
yeah.
like one Herf. Director's oeuvre.
Absolutely.
It could like. Am I right?
Yeah,
you are right.
Am I French?
Oui, oui.
So I thought that was really interesting that they obviously impacted each other.
Yeah, I've never really thought about, as soon as you said it, I was like, oh yeah, they, of course they were. Mm-hmm. The movies live in the same world. But I've never thought about it until
even
until
Marie
now.
Antoinette, which is like a little bit weird for Sofia Coppola in terms of, like, it doesn't look like, but that to me like, makes sense with her. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, just, I mean, just thematically, those movies all yeah. feel like they come well, from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Voices mm-hmm. that are similar.
So anyway, we get it, guys. We get it, and we're sorry it didn't work out. But this movie also stars Joaquin Phoenix. Mm.
What's his name?
Joaquin.
Yeah, formerly
I was actually,
Leaf.
I just have something in my throat.
Did you know that his name was Leaf before? He changed
what?
It.
His name is Leaf?
Yes. It's his given name. He's really? Credited as Leaf Phoenix in Parenthood.
Whoa, really?
Yep.
So Leaf and River and then...
And Rainbow mm-hmm. and Sunshine, mm. I think.
I don't think there's a Sunshine Phoenix.
Well, maybe it's Moon. I don't know.
Moon Unit, Zappa.
Moon Unit, Zappa. But Zappa. No, Phoenix. But I mean, there's a bunch Oprah. Of Phoenixes. There's a couple gals,
please,
so there's
definitely only
than...
one Phoenix, and she used to be Jean Grey.
Wow.
This movie stars Joaquin Phoenix and Amy Adams and Scarlett Johansson and Rooney Mara. And by Scarlett Johansson, I mean she's the voice of her. Now, spoilers are going to follow right after this. First, I want to just say that that voice was originally Samantha Morton. And they shot the entire movie, and then they redubbed it as Scarlett Johansson. I want to talk about this, but first I just want to kind of generally go through the ideas of the movie. So let's just say that right up top.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Crazy.
You just had to get
had
it out of
it.
You.
Say it. Get it out of there. Get it out. Get it out.
Now, what's this movie about? Hey, there's a guy. He's going through a divorce, and he starts a relationship with a Siri-like operating system that's voiced by Scarlett Johansson and not Samantha Morton. And then Amy Adams is nearby.
Sure.
I would like to... Let's just start with some best and worst, because there's a lot to discuss in this movie,
yeah,
but it's hard absolutely. It's hard to figure out how to actually just like get into it. So we'll just start there. So Rhea, for you, what is the worst part of this movie?
Oh, we're starting with the worst? Oh shit. Okay. all right. I'm gonna go deep on this one, because my worst is, well, the Samantha Morton part is part of this. I was reading Linda Holmes's blog about this, and Adi Cornish was talking about it, and how kind of negative this movie is about women because she's not a woman. She's not a human being. She doesn't have a body. She talks constantly about not having a body, not feeling human. She's also, and I think you and I talked about this, basically a baby and like learning from him. And so,
which is kind of gross,
really makes me a little uncomfortable.
Like,
I mean,
the first moment that she talks, she's a baby.
Yeah.
She's a sexy baby.
And there's no actual way, I think Linda Holmes talked about this, that for her to enjoy even the, like, phone sex that they're having, because she has no context for what they're doing, so she's simply there to serve his... I don't know. It's insane to me. It's insane to me. And I guess I would just say, what? First of all, this movie just blows the Bechdel test away. Because there's not a single woman in this movie that doesn't have to do with Joaquin.
Can you tell
Phoenix.
Us again what the Bechdel test
Bechdel
is? Because you bring it up
is,
a lot on the show, and I think it's a super
yeah.
important thing to talk about.
Are there more than one Is there more than one woman in your movie?
And it's
are there,
based on the writings of Alison Bechdel.
Yes, and this is not word for word, but this is just basically it. If there are two women, do they talk about things other than the man in the movie? Then you've passed the Bechdel test. But this movie is completely about Joaquin Phoenix, so... it's because even Amy
I
Adams
said today that I couldn't believe that this movie is not called Him. How is
Absolutely.
This movie called Her? This movie is not about her. This movie is about him.
My worst part is that this movie is attempting to find a universality about love and how love is formed, But in being so traditional, in being about a man and then a formless woman that exists only for his pleasure and life and to help him and everything, it's just the same thing over again. So it's not actually that interesting to me.
Ricky, okay. First, if you want to respond to that, you can. Yeah. Because it looks like you're having a response.
Yeah. What was Linda Holmes' thing about? What was her?
Oh, it was just her, like, rundown. And she actually ends up, at the end of the blog, she actually says that she likes the movie because it's trying to find, talk about what love actually is.
Yeah.
And that we can't actually put our finger on it. You can't say this is how love works and operates. And
yeah.
This is point A to point B. You can't find... And so with that I actually agree with about the movie. But because of the format being like a man buying a woman, turning her on, creating her for him...
All right.
Creates a problem for
me. Okay. Here, I never once did I think during the movie... gender roles did not come into my mind during the movie. Because he gets the option of, do you want a male voice or do you want a female voice? And he went for the female voice. Never did I think he went for the female voice because he wants to own a woman. I mean, there's male voices that are working that he speaks to before she becomes a part of it. And I never thought ownership. That just didn't cross my mind. I was more caught up in the. What is love? What can be? How do you define love? That's what I kept thinking. That's what I kept pulling out of this movie. What is love? How is what I think love? How does that have more weight than what you think is love? How is the relationship that I'm in not as valid as yours when I'm feeling the same emotions, except I can't see the person? And I always and I kept it as that, as the person, because once it gets to the point in the movie where, oh, he's not the only one who's having a relationship with his operating system. There's other people that are doing it. That's when I was like, oh, this movie's working on that level now. I thought this movie was way different than what I thought it was going to be about. I was like, it's going to be about movie about nerdy-ass Joaquin Phoenix, and he is a nerdy-ass. And he's going to get made of so much because he's in love with his phone, and people are going to be like, look at this fucking weirdo. And when it gets to that moment where I'm like, here's where somebody's going to tell him. Amy Adams is going to tell him, whoa, you're a fucking weirdo. She's actually like, hey, I heard this dude is like getting together with his operating system. And he's like, well, actually, I'm getting together with my operating system. And she's like, oh, word. And I was like, oh, it's accepted. That's the world that they live in. Do you have sex with your operating system? Actually, yeah, we kind of do. Oh, they're not acting like this is some weird, crazy thing. That's when I was like, okay, then this is... It's about what the emotion is that you get out of something as opposed to who it is that's giving
you
that emotion. I liked it. Yeah, I liked it very much.
You know, I honestly think, and I maybe, you know, I would love to hear from some listeners to see if this is not true, but I honestly think this would be a really different movie to watch if I was a man than if I'm a woman. Because, like, it's not just the ownership factor. It's also just, like, I mean, she's on call for him. Like, he like can press a button and his woman, his girlfriend,
but that's,
is there.
Yeah, but
and
that's,
she has like
sorry.
She has no demands of him. Like, I mean, a couple times she does call him, but he doesn't have to. The reason she calls him is like, I mean, yeah, she has to like talk, but like, I guess this was not making me wonder about Joaquin Phoenix's character. Mm-hmm. This movie was making me wonder if Spike Jonze is okay. Because, like, his conception of what a woman is in this movie, it's like the wife is, like, it's so sad. And then, like, that idea that, like, Joaquin Phoenix is, like, a broken man.
That's the next thing to say. As a divorced man watching it, I was like, Spike Jonze is nailing the, man, can I go through this again? Am I going to be willing to put myself out there again? I was like, dude, yep, I've thought those exact thoughts.
I think
the letter that he writes at the end, I've wanted to write that letter. I mean,
let me ask you the question then. Okay, so here's what I posit about this. If If that had not been Scarlett Johansson's voice, mm-hmm. I think I would have had a really different response to this movie. But everything else that's going on...
Because it's Scarlett Johansson? And
because
we
of
have
the
this
way...
Idea
no,
of Scarlett
not
Johansson?
Even just like... I mean, okay. Maybe a little bit because of the idea that we have. And that exists, too. You can't cast her and exactly. not have that be a part of it.
So,
but then also,
100%.
Like, she has an incredibly breathy voice. Like, it's not like... There literally is no one in Hollywood that's known as to be as much of like a sex pot mm-hmm. in that Marilyn way mm-hmm. than Scarlett Johansson is right now. I mean, even like who else could, I mean, you could have gotten like Natalie Portman and that, you know, she would have been a woman that some people think are sexy, you know, but it wouldn't have been that like, it's literally like casting Marilyn Monroe. Mm-hmm. And just the idea that when she picks up the phone, she's like, hey, what? How are you doing? Like, the first moment that she's turned on,
yeah.
she's already turned on. To me, that just made it so much less interesting when they started having sex. She's a phone sex operator. Like, that's who she sounds like in this movie.
You never got the impression that she had a longing as well for him? You always thought
My question is, why would a... So she might have had a longing for him. She also never knew anybody else. So it's kind of like, it's almost like a Stockholm syndrome sort of a thing for me, where it's like, he's sort of her captor, you know, because she eventually like frees herself from him because she's advancing so much.
Yeah.
But like, he's the only person that tells her anything about the world until you realize that he's not.
Yeah.
But that, like, that how could you have a relationship with somebody where you're the only person that tells them anything? Like, if that's not Stockholm syndrome, it might just be like, you know when you see those Mormon faiths where they have like 27 wives and the wives are all 14 and they're like, I consent to this. And you're like, I don't know if you could possibly consent to this. I felt like the computer couldn't consent.
Yeah.
That's my point.
No, but
the computer could not consent.
But she, I mean, it's from the get-go, I got the impression she is so much smarter than he is. When she right away is like, do you want me to read your emails? I can read this book right away. I read it in 0.8 seconds. It clicked more when the moment did happen of like when she's like, oh, no, I've been talking to other programs and that. I was like, oh, yeah, of course, man. She's working on a whole nother mental level, like technology wise and thinking wise, that he's not. It's going to get to the point, which is what happens, where he can't comprehend and she can't comprehend. She can't comprehend why he can't understand what's going on and he can't comprehend because it's a fucking machine that is just working on its super vast level that. It's
and
not
that is what
work.
Happened in his earlier relationship, too. Like, that's the other thing that this movie says is, like,
yeah.
the other relationship with his wife, they started together and they grew apart. And that's yeah. what happened with this situation, too. It's just that this woman had no, because of the specifics of the story, she had no past besides him and she had no other context besides him. It's just a really weird... It's a hard obstacle to overcome to make the movie that says what I think this movie wants to say, which is like relationships are hard because we grow apart and we evolve. But it's like, but she started because of you. You like Rhea was saying, you like bought her, you turned her on. I don't know. It creeped me out a little bit.
It's hard. I think it was hard for me to watch this movie in the context of all the other movies that I've seen. Like the whole time I was watching it, I was thinking of like Woody Allen romantic comedies where it's all about him and what he wants, and then he finds a woman to fit into the moment that he's living, and then when he realizes that she has other things going on in her life, or maybe she's not perfect, then he's on to the next thing. Because like in this movie, at one point he basically like turns her off because he just like can't deal with taking care of her or you know what she's into anymore, and then finally he like comes back in that cabin or whatever, and it just felt to me that same. I think we talked about Manhattan, Cameron, that mm-hmm. it's like just filling a void with something instead of, I don't know where to go with that, but that it was a hard obstacle for me to get over watching this movie in the grander context of like not really getting to see a ton of movies about anyone that's even remotely close to my experience, like other than seeing Frances Ha last year, like somebody that I could see myself as or relate to and experience.
Well, I think this is a great discussion, and I think I would like to move on to best parts, and I do want to, then at the end, I want to kind of, you know, cap
up on
this.
Oh, can I say what my worst part was?
Yeah.
Amy Adams' marriage, that whole storyline.
Oh, holy shit.
I did the way that it ends with it got so pretty much the final beat of he took a vow of silence, and then they show that picture of him. I was like, what?
Even when that guy was introduced, I don't know.
I thought that was too absurd for me.
Mm.
He's not going to talk anymore, and he went off to be with monks. I was like, well, that's
even more
dumb.
Absurd than the like company that Joaquin Phoenix works for.
No, I like that a lot. I like the contrast of this is a guy who is trying to find how to have a relationship, and his job is to make relationships happen for other people. I was on board with that 100%. And that everything is so like electronic, and at the end he finally gets something, a book, physical, what we, you know, something you can touch, that gave him some kind of like, ah, yes.
Yeah.
I was on board with that.
Well, my worst part for this movie is the casting of Scarlett Johansson. I actually really like Scarlett Johansson, and I think she's very talented. It's also funny that it's her, because the last time I saw her, when I saw her in Lost in Translation for the first time, again, just like to go back to the Sofia Coppola thing, I was like so grossed out by that movie the first time I saw it. And then I saw it again later and I had like a more open heart to it. But I think just because like, I don't know, sometimes I wanted to tone it down a little. I want to be like, girl, you're okay. Like, you don't have to prove it to the world. And I think it would have been so much more interesting to me if the voice that she came in with had something that was a little bit more neutral.
What if it was Fran Drescher?
Yeah. What if it's fucking Fran Drescher?
Fran Drescher, for sure.
No, but you know what? Actually, no. What if it was an unsexy voice? That would have been so much more fucking interesting.
I'd have been okay with
that. I don't
that.
Even mean a neutral voice. Yeah. I mean like an unsexy voice.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, this movie was the movie Sideways again, where it's like, I'm a weird, broken man. You're a beautiful woman. Fix me. Mm. Like, and I just am so sick of seeing that movie. So even when she doesn't have a physical form in the movie, they're still like, who's the hottest voice we could get? ScarJo? Okay. All right. So what's your best part, Rhea?
I have two very quick best parts. Number one is skate rats like myself would notice that there's a brief moment where you get to see Eric Kasten in the background of a party. So that's kind of cool. That's
you're
my best
name. You're yep. naming skate rats.
And then also, I did really like the actual technology in this movie. You know, like specifically
the technology's cool.
His little mm-hmm. earpiece. Like, I really want that earpiece, like a lot. It looks like a little tiny dreidel that you put in your ear, and then you just tap it, and then you have your cool little, like, leather-bound mm-hmm. phone and stuff. And also, how crazy of a future would it be that you just buy an OS? You don't have, like, a Mac or a PC. You just buy an OS, and then everything just works together, and you don't have a keyboard, and then you play, like, Super Mom on your whatever that is.
Yeah.
Then you wear really high-waisted pants everywhere.
High-waisted pants. Ricky, what's your best part?
I like that it's a future where white boys bring back Z Cavaricci's. I am a fan of anytime I saw those high pants come up, I was like, are those coming
you
back?
You can
are
buy you them
me?
Now.
Oh,
they're making them.
This is, just the world. A couple things. Anytime this movie got to a point where I was like, I know what's going to happen now. I like that it went the other way. When Amy Adams showed up, I was like, he's going to have a relationship with Scarlett Johansson. It's not going to work out. He's going to realize Amy Adams is for her. They're going to end up in love together. The end. That never happens. I love that. I love that the world that they live in, right from the get-go, when you see him, like it starts off with that huge close-up, and then when he's out walking, everybody walks by themselves or with one other person. And everybody either has a little earpiece or something that's keeping them distracted. Like, okay, we live the future. People are like, we're still cool with each other, but we've accepted that, like, I don't really need to talk to you. And it's there was never that moment of, can you believe this guy is on his fucking phone still? It's always this accepted reality that kept happening. I really like that very much so. When we find out, pretty much in that last third of the movie, that there's other operating systems and that they all get along and then they just decide that they're gonna leave. I was like, oh, okay, I can see that happening. We're bored with you, or this isn't working out. I'm not leaving, we're all leaving, because machines are probably that smart that they know, like, you humans aren't gonna figure this out. And that spit that when she's trying to like tell him why she's leaving. And even though I was like, I don't know why it is that she's leaving. I understand why she's leaving, but specifically, it reminded me of like one of the last episodes of Battlestar Galactica when like Dean Stockwell, his character, is like talking to somebody and trying to explain to them, like, do you know how evolved I am? I can see like a star being like created. And he like gets like into the details of it. And I was like, fucking machines are, if that's how machines talk, that is insane. and I like that Spike Jonze was, in my opinion, was trying to get that point across. And then when he finally is alone, he can't be in a relationship. He's on top of this building looking at the whole city. Just this fact of closure and loneliness ends on top of this, him standing above with everybody and Amy Adams. I was just like, okay, that's a little hopeful. It's a very sad movie, but that gives people a little bit of hope. Like, if you just take a risk and look at what's around you, you might be able to find something. I was on board with that. Mm.
I think my best part is I love the way this movie looks. I like the concept for the technology and the way that it's introduced into their lives and just everything that it's just laid out really beautifully. It's easy to watch. I did find it extremely frustrating, but I'm not sad I saw it because I think it was like pretty beautiful to look at. So good job making it beautiful, mm-hmm. Spike Jonze. I thought it was like very pretty and I'm glad that I saw those images. Yeah. You don't get to see a lot of movies that are like simple and you're happy you saw it for that reason. Like that it just looks so clean and organized. And
did you guys feel it was purpose. Like Elysium a little bit, where it was like the future, but like just far enough in the future. It was mm-hmm. like, I could see us.
Yeah, like Children of Men, that
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of a thing.
Yeah, yeah, I really like yeah. that
there's
a lot.
Still, you still have like modern furniture.
Yeah.
Right,
and
exactly.
I did find it a little confusing that it was supposed to be Los Angeles and I was like, oh, it's in the future. So there's.
Yeah.
That public
subway?
Transportation.
How do we get that train?
Yeah.
Well, in conclusion, so Rhea, on a scale of 1 to 5 high-waisted pants, how many high-waisted pants do you give her?
I give her 2.5 very cocoon-like endings. I'm going to switch up your scale out of 5 very cocoon-like endings.
Okay. Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5, Rooney Mara has 2 lines. How many Rooney Mara has 2 lines do you give this movie?
Her. I thought this is the cutest movie about the creation of Skynet. I will give it. Well, tell me again what it was.
Rooney Mara has two lines. Yeah.
I will give it 4 of 2
yeah.
of Rooney Mara's lines.
Okay. I will give her, God, I want to put it on 2 scales almost.
Hmm.
I want to say,
I was
like,
thinking that too
I will
when
give
we were coming
it,
in.
I will give it, like, in terms of things that I agreed with, I will give it, like, 1. I will give it, like, 1, hey, is that the dude from Parks and Rec? but in terms of like, is it interesting to look at this movie? I give it like 5. It's hard to look at Amy Adams after having seen American Hustle because you know what her boobs look like. So let's see this movie. If you haven't seen it, I would suggest renting it and just put it on and watch it. Do know that you might have to yell. You might have to yell, especially I think if you're a lady. You might have to yell.
It'll also really make you want to check your phone, like, the whole time. I was, like, itching to just look at my phone, and I never want to look at my phone during movies. But he's constantly on his phone! And I was like, what's my phone doing? What is my phone up to?
I was worried he was going to get an OSTD.
Oh, Ricky! Well, we can't do the show anymore, because Ricky has made the ultimate joke.
He broke the
show! It's been very fun. Talking about movies.
Thank you. Good night. I love you, Cleveland.
We will be back in just a moment to wrap it up. This week's episode of Wham Bam Pow is supported by Squarespace, an all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Hey, maybe you need a website. And maybe you're a dummy, like me, around computers. Hey, what do you need? You need Squarespace. It's incredibly easy to use. And it has amazing support team. They're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sign up for Squarespace now and use the offer code WHAM1. That's the word WHAM with the number one all together. You put that in, you get 10% off on your first purchase. Squarespace is everything you need to create an exceptional website.
Siri, are you her?
No, you know that it's just a movie, right?
Thanks, Siri. I do.
Why, thanks, Cameron.
Oh, really?
I mean, hey.
That's not a very evolved OS, she thinks to me.
It's yet, not the future yet, but...
I do want to have a shout-out to the Apple Corporation for updating their operating system to make sure that it can answer jackasses like us when we ask it if it's the movie Her. Yeah, there's some Easter eggs in your phone. So pop on
There's
Siri,
a couple different versions.
Couple
Check
different
it out.
Versions. Ask if... Oh, have you tried to ask if she's Scarlett Johansson?
No, not yet.
You gotta go up for that next.
Are you Black Widow?
So, to leave you guys with this for the week, what are you thinking about this week, Rita?
This week, I've been very skateboarding focused. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Meow Skateboards, which is a company that's recently started, I believe, by a gal named Lisa Whitaker, who used to run this like girls skateboarding collective called Villa Villa Cola, which is a Pippi Longstocking reference. She used to make a zine, which if you don't know what that is, it's paper put together, stapled, and sent to other people. But they have this really rad little skateboarding company that has Vanessa Torres and Amy Karen, who are two gals that really just straight up rip, and actually skated in that contest that I keep on talking about 10 years ago with both of them. But they're really awesome skateboarders and they're gals, and like, holy hell, check that out. And their skateboards have cats on them. So,
great
meow
job,
skateboards.
Ricky, what are you thinking about this week?
I'm gonna rattle these off. You saying meow now, and we talked about Megan's picture earlier, and there were several listeners who tweeted, why isn't the show called now Wham Bam Meow? So I want to give a shout out to that joke because that made me giggle very much. Things that I'm loving right now, I just watched this series that's on Netflix called Hit and Miss, starring Chloe Sevigny, that is amazing. She plays a transgender in the middle of the operation, going from a man to a woman, who is an assassin in Ireland who finds out that she has a child from the marriage that she is no longer in. The show starts there, and it takes off, and it's amazing.
What?
And it
gets... Why have I been
I wish
watching
you guys could see Cameron's
else?
Face.
Yes.
I forgot to tell you.
Why did you tell me about this?
He told me it was
Ricky,
on Netflix,
why didn't
and I forgot.
You call me?
I'm sorry. And
this
it's,
sounds very interesting.
And it's not done in any kind of freakish way, or I never felt it's... It's a very interesting
It's
watch.
Almost like the character is a person?
It's like the character
Shocking.
Is a person.
That's
can't
amazing.
Believe it.
Yeah.
I saw the best movie of 2013. It's 12 Years a Slave. See that movie. Chicago, it's freezing. Stay warm. Listen to the song Orange Soda by Vic Mensa. It'll make you feel right.
It is negative 30 in our hometown today.
Yes, it is.
It is negative 30 in our hometown. We are sending a shout out there. This week, I'm thinking about, I got to work this weekend with my friend Bobcat Goldthwait, who's a very funny comic and has yeah. been a comic for many years. And another thing that he does is he directs movies. And one movie of his that I would recommend checking out is called World's Greatest Dad. Stars Robin Williams and then this other kid.
The Spy Kid.
It's actually great. It's a great film. And it's not what you're ever going to think it is. And I'm just really impressed that Bob made that. So if you get a chance, if you're able to find it, it's absolutely worth your time. So that's World's Greatest Dad. Check that out. Oh, he's got a new movie coming out too, Willow Creek, which I think will be in theaters.
When's that happening? Yeah, I want to see that.
Pretty soon.
I've heard nothing but great things about that.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great.
Yeah. It's great. World's Greatest Dad, though, is like...
I loved World's Greatest Dad.
A heartbreaker.
Yeah.
This it's really good.
Willow Creek is a found footage Bigfoot movie. And that's a whole other thing.
Also tugs at my heart.
Yeah.
It'll get your
heart.
So next week, we will be watching Cherry 2000, which is currently available on Netflix. Watch instant. Until then, I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Rhea Butcher.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay, and Maximum Fun, and thank you for listening. I also just want to say, as we leave, that Max Fun has launched a couple of new podcasts in the new year, so please run over to MaximumFun.org, check it out, look at the other shows, and see what else you find. I love the network that we're on, and I really support all the shows that we have, so please, please give some love to some other shows as well.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.